This video is made possible by Skillshare. Learn anything you want to learn with Skillshare for free for 2 months at skl.sh/reallifelore18. I purposefully released this video on the 9th of November, 2018. 2 days from now, on the 11th of November, will mark exactly 100 years since the end of the First World War, one of the most destructive and violent wars ever fought in human history. While the Second World War and the destruction it caused often overshadow the First World War, I felt like now would be a good time to remember and visualize the enormous loss of life that the Great War caused. We'll be counting soldiers and civilians separately, as well as deaths and injuries separately. A casualty can be a confusing statistic in war because it means that a soldier has been taken out of action, but not necessarily killed. Each of these models represents 1,000 people who died or went missing, while each of these models represents 1,000 people who were injured, which when combined equal the number of casualties. And we'll begin the counting with the United States. Over 116,000 soldiers died, and another 204,000 were injured fighting against the Germans and Austrians on the Western Front. This amounted to 0.17% of the American population at the time becoming a casualty of war. But America only fought for a little over a year between 1917 and 1918. The war had already been going on for over 2.5 years before that. So let's take a look at some of the countries who were fighting from the beginning. The war began when Austria-Hungary declared war against Serbia in 1914, and Serbia suffered worse than any other country during the war. 375,000 Serb soldiers lost their lives in the fighting, while another 625,000 civilians died from famine and disease. That amounted to over 22% of the Serbian population dying during the 4-year-long war, more than 1 out of every 5 people in the country. Serbia was a member of one of the 2 alliances that fought against one another in the war called the Entente, which also included the United Kingdom, France, Russia, Italy, America, and many others, all of whom would suffer terribly. The United Kingdom would send over 815,000 soldiers to their graves, like on the first day of the Battle of the Somme, in which 19,000 would die in only 24 hours, the bloodiest single day in British history. Over 123,000 British civilians also lost their lives during the war, totaling up to just over 2% of the British population, or about 1 in every 50 people dying. But many more were wounded. 1,675,000 more soldiers, which adds together to 5.77% of the UK population then, becoming casualties of the war. Subjects of the British Empire, like Australia, Canada, New Zealand, India, and South Africa, also fought in the war and took high casualties. Percentage-wise, New Zealand suffered the worst, losing 3.8% of her population as wartime casualties. While numbers-wise, Australia took the hardest hit, losing over 61,000 of her soldiers and suffering another 152,000 wounded, with Canada and India both not too far behind. But the other major Entente powers lost an incredible amount more. The Italians joined the war in 1915, but in 3 years of fighting suffered 555,000 military fatalities, along with 592,000 civilian deaths. Another 947,000 Italian soldiers became wounded, representing 5.8% of the Italian population becoming casualties, a figure roughly comparable to the UK percentage. But then there's Russia and France, both of whom suffered higher casualties than the entire Serbian population combined during the war. Russia was the first country to come to Serbia's defense during the war and suffered catastrophic losses. 1,977,000 soldiers died fighting against the Central Powers, while another 1,140,000 civilians lost their lives. But Russia suffered vastly higher injuries. 4,350,000 soldiers were wounded during the fighting, which together represents 2.5% of the Russian population that became casualties. These enormous losses eventually helped contribute to Russia's spiral into revolution and their surrender in the war early into 1917. But percentage-wise, the Allied country that suffered during the war the most, besides Serbia, was France. Most of the Western Front took place in northeastern France and Belgium, and during 4 years of fighting, 1,377,000 French soldiers gave up their lives in defense of their country, along with 340,000 civilian fatalities. This represented a loss of life for 4.3% of the entire French population, but many, many more were wounded. 4,266,000 additional French soldiers were wounded or maimed by the war, representing a total casualty amount similar to Russia's, but from a much smaller population. In total, around 15% of France's population became a casualty during the First World War. A horrible loss of life that wouldn't be fully recovered 20 years later at the start of the Second World War. Other Entente countries in order of wartime casualties include Romania, which also suffered terribly at 10.4% of their population becoming casualties, as well as Greece, Belgium, Portugal, Montenegro, and Japan, with only about 1,000 casualties during the entire war. But now let's take a look at the other side, the Central Powers, which were led by Germany. Germany was fighting on two fronts for most of the war and also suffered cataclysmic losses. 2,037,000 of her soldiers died fighting in the west and the east, and 594,000 of her civilians died, largely due to starvation caused by the Allied blockade of the country. Another 2.5 million German soldiers were wounded during the course of the war, amounting to 7.8% of Germany's population becoming a casualty. While Germany suffered the highest raw numbers of the Central Powers' casualties, she didn't suffer the highest percentage-wise. While Austria-Hungary took less casualties overall, they represented a higher proportion of that empire's population, 10.77%. Over 1.3 million soldiers were killed and another 3.6 million injured, all of which helps to explain why the Austro-Hungarian Empire itself wasn't able to survive the war. But the worst suffering on the Central Powers side occurred inside of the Ottoman Empire, and most of it was self-inflicted. The Ottomans joined the war in 1915 and suffered 548,000 military fatalities, and another 582,000 wounded fighting against mostly the British, French, and the Russians. But absurdly high civilian deaths inside of the Ottoman Empire were largely due to the Ottoman government's policy of ethnic cleansing against her Armenian, Greek, and Assyrian ethnic minorities. Collectively known as the Armenian Genocide, 1.5 million Armenians were systematically killed by the Ottoman government during and shortly after the war, along with 600,000 Greeks and 225,000 Assyrians. Accounting for all of this in addition to the military casualties, an enormous 17% of the Ottoman Empire's population was killed or wounded during the conflict, which can also help to explain why this empire too didn't survive long after the war was over. And finally, Bulgaria was another member of this alliance that suffered greatly as well, with 6.8% of their population becoming casualty victims of the Great War. In total, and across all countries, about 9 million soldiers lost their lives, as well as 7 million civilians. 36% of all deaths were Entente military, 22% were the Central Powers military, another 22% were Central Powers civilians, and the final 20% were Entente civilians. The First World War was, and still remains, the bloodiest war ever fought in the history of the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Belgium, Bulgaria, Romania, Serbia, Turkey, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. The Second World War was actually not as bad for all of these mentioned countries, but it would be worse for others like Russia and Germany. Hopefully, after two terrible lessons during the 20th century, humanity will never forget what can happen when we let our differences get the better of us. Lessons of any kind are valuable for both societies and for individuals, and if you made it all the way through this video to here, it's clear that you enjoy learning. So why not learn even more about anything you want to by going over to Skillshare next? One of the most common questions that I get asked all the time is how I got started making these videos, and the first step was learning the required skills like researching, writing, audio recording, and editing. For all of these skills, though, there's a course offered on Skillshare, an online learning community with more than 20,000 classes on whatever it is you want to learn. The sheer variety of classes you can take is incredible. You can learn skills to help you make videos, build a good-looking website, or cook a delicious meal, and there is so much more. There's even amazing classes taught by my YouTube friends friends Mike Boyd and the team behind Kurzgesagt. But the best part about all of this is that the first 500 people to click on the link in the description or by going to skl.sh/reallifelore18 can try Skillshare entirely for free for 2 months. Skillshare is a great supporter of this channel, and they help make these videos possible, and it's a great place to learn. So please do make sure to go ahead and check them out. Thank you, and I'll see you again next week.